Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. So, Bob, what is the firmament of day two in Genesis?
That's the topic of our program, and it's based on an article we have at rsr.org/firmament. As it turns out, Fred, this topic of the firmament is of great interest not only to creationists, but to atheists.
To atheists. There's a popular anti-creationist. He made a 40-minute video, a YouTube video, critical of our article, the Real Science Radio article.
Imagine there being a little article on the internet and you make a 40-minute video.
That's a lot of work.
So we're going to embed the whole video into today's show summary. So you go to rsr.org/firmament and you can see that video. But it seems to me like we hit a nerve.
Oh, without a doubt.
With this article. Because so many atheists have claimed that the Bible teaches that the earth is surrounded by a solid domed sky.
Yeah, and they like to mock us for that.
Yeah, whereas instead what the Bible actually teaches, and we will attempt to establish this in this program, is that the firmament of day two is the crust of the earth.
The crust of the earth, which actually would falsify the allegation that it's a dome.
Yeah, it really would.
Also, if the firmament is the crust of the earth, then that would explain where the water came from for the flood, right? And I know that there's some questions among creationists about that.
So many creationists, they have their flood models, but they really have a hard time saying where the water came from. Well, it came from under the crust. But then also, Fred, this explanation makes another view irrelevant. A view by creationists. There are some creationists who have proposed that God made all the elements of the universe out of water. And the reason, the motivation for that is, I believe, a misunderstanding of what the firmament is.
Okay, so that motivation would go away if the water all came beneath the crust of the earth.
Exactly. So here at Real Science Radio, which, by the way, airs on Colorado's most powerful radio station, AM 670 KLTT, 50,000 watts, we teach Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, that it's the best understanding of the global flood, of geology, and of the relevant scriptures.
Yeah, and you put together a fantastic video, the hydroplate theory. And hey, somebody just called in before the show, ordered a copy of this
just minutes ago
video.
From Hinton, West Virginia. Fred, it's become our best-selling science video. Just go to rsr.org, click on the store, or call us, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we're thankful that our research is reaching thousands of people.
Now, so what we're saying is on day two, God created the crust of the earth.
Yeah. And the verse in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, says that, "Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament." And we're going to add a bunch of biblical material to talk all through this. If we're right, then Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate theory is correct. And it helps us to better understand the global flood, geology, and all the related scriptures.
So on day two of creation, God formed the crust of the earth called the firmament, or the Hebrew word is rakia, which we'll talk about more later.
Rakia.
And extended for miles above the worldwide subterranean ocean, and the crust, of course, also held waters upon its surface.
Okay, so, and you know, we have an animation of this, God's day two work, his creation of the firmament, the crust of the earth.
In the hydroplate video.
Yes, it's a neat animation. So you see the earth covered by waters, and then God is creating the crust in the midst of the waters, and then there's water below the crust and water above the crust, which are the surface waters. Now, if this is true, then we would expect to read in the Bible that initially the surface of the earth was covered only with water, and that then God made the earth's crust above the water. And we're going to find out that's pretty much what we read. And that's consistent with the hydroplate theory, which describes an enormous subterranean chamber of water, maybe a couple miles thick or so, that is perhaps about 30 miles below the surface of the earth. If this is true, the Bible teaches that God did what? Well, it starts in Genesis. It tells us that God created the earth, and then to excerpt, "And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So a lot of water in the beginning of the creation.
Yeah, and in Psalm 136, verse 6, God laid out a raka, the earth above the waters.
He raka. Now, let me read that. He raka. You know, the firmament is the rakia. So that's the noun. The verb is raka. Mm-hmm. So God raka the earth above the waters. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. Now, raka, we're adding that, but it's actually the Hebrew word, right?
The Hebrew word, God laid out. He raka the earth above the waters. So if the rakia had to be the atmosphere, then this verse is saying that God raka the earth above the atmosphere. And that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense. The earth isn't above the atmosphere.
God raka the earth above the waters. 2 Peter 3:5. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth was standing out of water and in the water. So that now is just as plain as could be.
Yeah, standing out of water and in the water.
Right, so the water under the crust was standing out of that, and the surface waters, like the seas, the crust was in those waters.
So back to Genesis 1, verse 7, thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament.
Wow, and then Psalm 24, so the earth is the Lord's, in verse 2, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters.
So where did the water come from?
The water for the global flood then began. What does Genesis 7:11 say?
The fountains of the great deep are broken up.
Right. And so the fountains of the great deep, well, what's the great deep? It's the water below the crust.
Yeah, below the firmament.
So when you read Genesis and the flood account in Noah's day, you get the sense that the reader should know where the water came from, because it just tells you, well, it's the fountains of the great deep. What great deep? Well, Genesis 1 explained that God made the crust of the earth, and below it, he put half of the waters, and above it, the other half of the waters. The pre-flood earth had been standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
And the Greek there is cataclysmic, so anybody tries to say that that's a local flood, well, yeah, it's not.
So, Fred, those waters that were below the crust, they had been stored up for global judgment, if needed. When the heavens were made, the Bible says of much of the earth's water back then, that God, quote, lays up the deep in storehouses. Dr. Brown's book, In the Beginning, demonstrates powerfully that the world's major geologic features, they flow logically just from these initial conditions of the crust, the water below, the water above. But there are brilliant creation scientists who think Walt is wrong.
Oh, that's right. In fact, I'd say for a long time, the vast majority did. That includes myself. I mean, if you go to the Wikipedia definition of firmament, it says it's the sky. And, you know, for a long time on my presentations, I showed on day two the creation of the atmosphere, because I always assumed the firmament was the atmosphere and not the crust of the earth.
Sure. There are still many professional creation scientists who are disagreeing with Walt, but there is an army of creationists who are saying, hey, guys, you need to take another look at this, because the biblical evidence is powerful. And the scientific evidence seems overwhelming.
Yeah, we've jumped quite a few verses in the Bible that support this firmament being the crust of the earth.
Yeah.
And we've just started, Bob.
That God rocka the earth above the waters. But then their main stumbling point, though, I think, Fred, is Genesis 1:8, where we read that God called the firmament heaven.
You call it heaven.
Yeah. So, and I understand why that's a stumbling point to a lot of people, because they think that this firmament must either be the atmosphere, like Henry Morris thought, or maybe outer space, like Russell Humphrey thinks. Here at Real Science Radio, we show that whether figurative or literal, the crust of the earth is the boundary between heaven and hell.
It is therefore consistent with the Bible story that God would originally call the crust of the earth heaven.
Yeah.
So interestingly, from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9, hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming.
Ooh, that's scary. It's horrifying, really.
Yeah.
Hell from beneath is excited to meet you. You know, in Job 26, we read that at creation, God drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble. He stirs up the sea with his power. So there is this concept in the Bible that the surface of the earth is part of God's kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, for God's newly created earth, he referred to everything from the crust above as heaven. So it's interesting. There's things like rain from heaven, the dew of heaven, birds of heaven.
Yeah, right. Those kind of phrases are dozens of times in the Bible. So, and even after the fall, you know, the Bible continues to refer to the atmosphere. And think of it, the atmosphere is just one molecule above the ground as heaven. And sometimes the kingdom of heaven is at least partially on earth when we read about the kingdom of heaven.
And wouldn't he have been in heaven? He hadn't fallen yet.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be heaven?
Adam,
that's paradise.
Adam didn't have to die to go to heaven. It was all part of God's kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, everything was very good.
And Fred, I think you could even show that with the fall of Lucifer. Once you have this understanding, when you find out what happened with Lucifer at his fall, it fits perfectly with what we're talking about.
Yeah, because didn't Lucifer, it says he fell from heaven, right?
Yeah.
And I know I always thought, well, he fell from the heavenly realms. He
like was up God's in a battle throne
with,
room.
Yeah, he was up in a battle there with God. It's interesting, the Bible actually places Lucifer at the time of the fall, where? On earth.
In the Garden of Eden. So you quote it first from Isaiah 14. And Fred, at Denver Bible Church, I have the honor of teaching our verse-by-verse study through the whole Bible Sunday morning. So this week, guess what chapter we're in? Isaiah 14. We'll do the whole chapter, Lord willing. People subscribe to our studies. They get them at our store, rsr.org, and they click on the store. So in Isaiah 14, verse 12, we find Lucifer is, quote, fallen from heaven. So the artist's picture of him falling from the clouds, you know?
Yeah.
But we also have Ezekiel 28, and you have to take all of Scripture together. And Ezekiel 28 places him on earth at the moment of his fall. It says this of Lucifer, "You were in Eden, the garden of God." And also in Isaiah, "You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds."
So in Ezekiel 28, it's saying that he was in Eden, the garden of God. That's
right.
When he fell. What's interesting about Ezekiel 28, you've got a great Bible study on the tree of life.
Oh, it's so
and,
fun.
Man, you really...
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a stunner.
Tree, yeah, it is a stunner. And when I first heard it, I'm like, where is Bob getting this? I had to go read
yeah.
all of Genesis,
yeah.
and I couldn't find it because you were saying about this great big tree.
A
and
story
the
about
fell
the tree
off
of
on the
sides
knowledge, of the mountains and
of,
all this.
Of the knowledge of good and evil. And there's a whole chapter in the Bible about it.
There is.
But we'll just, that's it. We won't say any more. But people could get it. Just go to rsr.org, click on the store, and look for the tree.
Yeah, because it actually is in the Bible.
And there's a whole section on that in my book, The Plot, An Overview of the Bible. That's Lucifer. Yes, he fell from heaven. That's not geographic. That means from God's kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Where was he? Geographically, he was on earth in the Garden of Eden. And he said, I will ascend into heaven and I will rise above the clouds. So he's on earth when he fell.
That's right. And there were more than one heaven, right?
The surface of the earth is heaven.
Yeah, because it was heaven when Adam and Eve were there before they fell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then there was the atmosphere and outer space, too. Eventually, rather quickly, the heavens also became known as the firmament.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the secondary use of that term. And Fred, that brings us right to how Moses used this word firmament in the Bible.
Well, he used it 9 times in the creation account and 4 times with a qualifier, right?
Yeah, the last 4 times. The first 5 times, firmament, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
The last 4 times, he said firmament of the heavens, firmament of the heavens, of the heavens, of the heavens. And it is very significant when you qualify a word you've been using 5 times in the span of a couple paragraphs.
Yeah, you're making the effort to actually qualify it now.
Right. So now you're saying, I'm using this word in a different way this time. Now I'm talking about the firmament of the heavens, like the atmosphere in outer space, where the planets move. The atheists think that the word firmament, like terra firma, the firm crust of the earth, and even the Hebrew word means a solid expanse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. So they misinterpret the Bible, along with many Christians and creationists. And they say, well, the Bible teaches a solid dome above the atmosphere.
Yeah. In that same Wikipedia article that talks about the firmament, it says it's the sky and a dome. Of course,
right,
you know, the secular Wikipedia's got to get that whole business in about a dome.
Yeah. And so they mock Christians and the Bible. And they also point out that much of the ancient world believed in a solid dome. Now, why would that be? You know, after the flood, how there are hundreds of flood stories from cultures all over the world, but they're not as clear as the Genesis account.
Yeah, they're all distorted over time, as we would expect.
Yeah, but the same thing happened with the creation account in Genesis and day two of God making the firmament, the hard expanse of the crust of the earth. The pagan recollections, like in Egypt and Greece and all over the world, really, what they remembered darkly was that God made some firm expanse, a dome, over the atmosphere. They just got it wrong. They remembered it incorrectly.
So what's this deal with the word rakia, the word that's used for this?
Well, this atheist who made the video against us, a 40-minute video that we're embedding in today's show summary, his name is Brett Palmer. And he says that, you know, we have no idea what we're talking about. We misunderstood. Fred, after he made his video, we came back to this and we added all these verses where God rocka the earth above the waters. And I think that stunned him. And we added the information on the Babylonian creation epic, which I think also has stunned this particular atheist. But rakia is the noun from the verb rocka. And it means to be hammered out or spread out, as in working metal into a thin sheet or a plate. Like it says in Exodus 39, they beat the gold into thin sheets. They rocka the gold into thin sheets.
Well, it's not the only place. Isaiah 40, verse 19. The goldsmith overspreads, or the Hebrew word rocka, it with gold.
Right. So gold plated it. So the plates of the earth, right? Geologists talk about the plates of the earth. Mm-hmm. So that comes from this concept of God's creation. He made this plate or the crust over the surface of the earth.
It's what Walt Brown calls the hydroplates.
Right, because there was water below it. And so again, in Genesis 1, God made the firmament, the rakia, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, the rakia, the crustal plates, from the waters which were above the firmament. So at this point, Fred, I want to use all capital letters, and I want to put them in bold.
You're going to shout?
I want to shout that God rocka the earth. He rocka the earth. And if that's true, it contradicts the vapor canopy theory, all these other versions that have the rakia meaning only the atmosphere.
Only the atmosphere.
Or it only outer space. If God rocka the earth, all those views are wrong.
Yes.
And if the rakia is the crust of the earth, that means
then it makes sense.
All the other flood models are wrong. Vapor canopy, catastrophic plate tectonics, and the water for the flood, the fountains of the great deep, came from below the crust.
Yes, all the water from below the crust.
It's so cool. So Psalm 136:6 again, to God who laid out, who rocka the earth above the waters.
Yeah, and again, 2 Peter 3:5, it's a great verse. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water.
And in the water. Isaiah 42, verse 5, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth, rocka, the earth, and that which comes from it. So God rocka the earth. So the rakia is the earth. That was its initial meaning. Isaiah 44, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad, rocka, the earth. So Fred, if the rakia means only the atmosphere, then God would have said, I rakia the heavens and I make the earth. But he said, I stretched out the heavens and I rocka the earth, because the earth is the rakia.
Yeah, the earth's crust.
The crust of the earth. It's just so cool. And the etymology of rakia is a very interesting topic.
Well, yeah, it kind of relates to current events. So the word rakia relates to rocka or sharia. So we've heard sharia law, right?
Oh, yeah.
It relates to shara, which is the verb to ordain or to decree.
Yeah, so the verb shara and the noun sharia, the law, Islamic law. So the verb rakka and the noun is rakia. It's the same thing. In the ancient Middle East, commonly, they would end names in IA. And so this particular example of the early Hebrew usage, rakia, though it's not a proper name, is the name for something created by rakka.
Bob, I love the research you did on the Babylonian creation epic. I mean, you found some really interesting stuff here. This has got to be the nail in the coffin. It's slam dunk.
Here.
I'm sorry, guys. This is, to me, was slam dunk.
Yeah. when people think that the firmament of day two is not the crust of the earth, and then later that word also applied to the heavens, if they think that might not be true, they have to turn off their radio right now, because this is the clincher. You're absolutely right, Fred. This knocks it out of the ballpark. The ancient pagan world had a corrupted memory of biblical accounts like you and I have discussed.
Yeah, exactly.
Egypt's sun god arising out of the waters of creation is like a darkened recollection of what the Bible says, that God moved upon the face of the waters and God said, let there be light.
And how about the Epic of Gilgamesh? I mean, this is the Babylonian account
that has
a lot of interesting things about the flood. Obviously, it's not the accurate account. It's not the Bible.
Right. So we're giving examples of how the ancient pagan world had a corrupted memory of what the Bible teaches about creation.
But it's interesting what their corrupted memory has in it.
It is interesting. Well, it turns out that the Babylonians also have a creation epic, and it's called Enuma Elish. And there are similarities to the 7 days of the creation week, including this, that man's creation on the sixth day is presented on the sixth tablet of the Babylonian creation epic. I think that's pretty interesting. And then the first creation tablet describes, quote, the waters commingling as a single body.
Mm.
Now, Genesis chapter 1 says that God made the waters, the firmament, with the waters below and the waters above. So the waters were separated. But what happened before he separated them? Before he separated them, they were commingling.
They had to be commingling.
As a single body.
That would make sense.
So here's what the Babylonian, and we're not saying this Babylon, this is a pagan account, a pagan recollection, very dark, of the creation story that they remember their ancestors telling them. So this is just generations after Noah's kids got off the ark. Generations later in Babylon, in Sumeria, they're telling these creation stories, and this is what they ended up saying. On the first creation tablet, that the waters were commingling as a single body when, get this, no marshland had yet appeared. And that's very reminiscent of the firmament dividing the waters and the dry land appearing.
Yeah. Well, hey, it goes on to say, when on high the heaven had not been named, firm ground below had not been called by that name.
Now, that's a shocker. That's a shocker. In fact, that line you just read, Fred, this is in the first lines of the first Babylonian creation tablet. This is right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And if you're going to start a story, you're just going to make it up of how the world began. Are you going to start it like this? When on high, the heaven had not been named.
The heaven had not been named.
Now, that's like you're pointing out that the heavens on high, that the sky, the atmosphere, outer space, that it didn't get its name yet. That's a weird way to start. When on high, the heaven had not been named, firm ground below had not been called by that name.
By that name.
Whoa!
By that name that's going to come for the heavens above.
This is huge. This is saying, this is the pagan Babylonian recollection of Genesis chapter 1, day 2. That's what this is. And they're saying, well, initially, heaven didn't yet have its name. And the firm ground below the heavens, it had not yet been called by that same name.
Yeah.
So heaven above and the earth below both had the same name. That is just an astounding way to begin the Babylonian.
So neat to find that in the Babylonian account.
Creation epic. It's just astounding. It's the Enuma Elish.
And so going back to Genesis, so God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And God called the firmament heaven.
Heaven. And then God said, let the dry land appear. So we now know why the Babylonian epic begins in this way. And we also can refute the atheist solid dome mocking of the Bible, because we understand that the firmament, the solid dome, it was a solid plate of the crust of the earth.
Yeah, and this Brett Palmer guy says that you're the only guy that ever thought this up.
Yeah, right. That is funny, right? That atheist who made this 40-minute-long video said Bob Benyard is the only one who ever thought
no
firmament,
one before or ever since has no one, made right, this claim.
Right.
Is that true?
Well, Walt Brown's book lists two pastor from California and a pastor from Colorado, Diego Rodriguez in California and Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church, Fred, Walt Brown's book said, hey, I got this proposal in the mail from two pastors, unrelated. And then I Googled firmament. I just Googled firmament. And you get two different meanings. You get the heavens or the sky, and you get a sphere or world viewed as a collection of people. There's two meanings. But here is the Babylonian creation epic. And Fred, you're not going to get more contemporaneous to the Genesis account. Historians are never going to find something closer than the Babylonian creation epic. Yeah.
Well, there's already the tons of scriptural evidence in the Bible, and it's really cool to have this, you know, as additional evidence that supports this.
Yeah, I'm just so excited about it. And so because God rocked the earth by creating the rakia, that is the solid rock crust of the earth, therefore there is an English word, very common word, but nobody knows its etymology. Nobody knows where this word came from.
It's declared as unknown as to where the origin of the word rock came from.
Rock.
So, hey, Real Science Radio now has where the word rock came from, the etymology of the word.
Well, Fred, if you look up the etymology of the word rock, well, it comes from medieval Latin, rocca. But before that, its ultimate origin is unknown. Well, we know.
Yeah.
Because
it makes
God rocka the earth, and that's why we have our word rock.
Rock comes from rocka. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. And so the whole solid dome sky belief that the ancient world, and so many like China, India, Native Americans, Australian Aborigines, and even the early Christians, they held to this solid dome sky belief. Mm-hmm. But now we know why, because they confused the solid crust of the earth, the terra firma, they confused that. They thought that was up above
the atmosphere of the space.
And that was just completely confused. So in conclusion, the Bible speaks of earth using the same term, rakia, as for the firmament of the heavens, which is clarified in Genesis 1. Yet when the paradise of Eden and God's kingdom of heaven on earth became filled with violence, mankind began to forget that God made earth as part of his kingdom of heaven.
Paradise. It was originally heaven.
The firmament is the crust of the earth, and that word later became used for the sky in outer space. Mm-hmm. Fred, our video on the global flood and the hydroplate theory, it's our best-selling science video. It sold more than most any video we've sold in the last 24 years.
And get that video, The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. That's great,
too. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's an audio Bible study. It is really fun.
It is.
Hey, we're out of time. Fred, thank you.
Thanks,
and
Bob.
For those of you out there in radio land and in podcast land, this is Bob Enyart for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Talking about